what kind of formats for, educating have worked the best? Like workshops or the office hours or maybe some guidelines? What's your experience on the formats?
We had a lot of different formats, and for example, we had regular office hours, we had lectures, we had workshops. But with the workshop, for example, I didn't guide them myself, so here I don't have a lot of experience. But speaking about lectures, it was a different format again. It was like pure vendor sessions. It was sessions with them. For example, somebody speak about the vendor speak, and plus it could be a case from the inside from the company. And it could be the third format when we started making the dashboard to understand if you need the session or not. And this dashboard thing we just started doing the last year. And it was kind of interesting experience because the person can understand directly if he need to come. And most of the times they coming because they see that, for example, exactly this optimization we need right now. We see this main metrics, we see this main KPIs, which is influenced by this metric, by this optimization, and they are coming. And for me, this format of the lectures and internal case was one of the most one of the favorites. Most of the people joined it because they saw that somebody already did it, and maybe they can apply it too because they see that this case is alive. This is not something like artificial. This is something real, and we explaining them like how they can do it, how another team did it, how they find out it, and then one of the vendors explain more into details like what else you can do, how you can understand how to do it, and what is suitable for you. And most of the times people joining this. But speaking about, for example, FinOps office hours and just office hours in general, I did it kind of weekly, but it was not the best. For me, it wasn't work as the best format because teams still continue texting me and continue asking me. And sometimes, of course, I send them to this office hours, like, come join me on Monday and I will explain you everything. But at the end, it's better to leave something like a channel for them to communicate with you than just saying like join exactly this day, only this time I am available. I think it's not the type which I think is working very well. But yeah, lectures was one of the best things.
No, that's cool. I totally agree that like case studies and seeing people already doing that is one of the best like resources in FinOps. I tend to like focus on that on the newsletter itself, and I think it's more realistic when I see the different companies like Adidas, Zalando, all these big companies like doing like a major thing. It's like yeah, they did it, so maybe you can do it, and they posted like GitHub code even or things like that. So examples, and then office hours. Like I think it's better to have like a Slack channel or a Teams channel and drop questions over there, and then from those questions like you can maybe leverage and do a guideline or maybe do something that can be shared to or an FAQ section maybe. So I think those are very good formats that you mentioned. And starting from the formats. So have you been able to like onboard or embed, sorry, this education into like processes of the company? So for example, when you are doing the onboard or when you are doing certain updates, how have you been able to do things like that?
We decided that we don't want to put and to push our FinOps education everywhere. And we just focus on the few key processes where it can be suitable. And I tried to keep it like inside the central team. And of course, we had some processes where we did these meetings like every time. For example, budgeting. Every time before budgeting started, I always did a session where I explained what to do, how to do, who have to participate, like all this information. I teach them how they can forecast themselves, and it was something would take a part with the process. Sometimes it was, but mostly we try to do our own schedule. And for example, we try to do this education session once in 2 months, one in 3 months, like gathering this data, this optimization ideas about which we can tell to the teams. But we had this FinOps, we had this meeting for the practitioners, and which was something like an onboarding, and it was my main onboarding process. And when sometimes it's a lot of changes in the company, when you need to onboard a lot of people, but not just the people who is just who was just hired, but people who take a part in on this FinOps practitioners activity. For example, somebody left and they find a new person who will replace it in the FinOps activity. And when it's a lot of people, I did this onboarding. Yeah, but of course, all the FinOps process was were supported with the documentation, and yeah. So long story short, we try to keep this education activity based on our FinOps processes, and that's the main thing here. Because sometimes you can try to put it somewhere, but and to join any activity from other teams, but we still was afraid that it could be a blocker. It could be a blocker for something, because when you put a lot of activities into one process, it's becoming longer. You can try, you can do your best, you can do everything, but it always will be longer. So that's why, yeah, FinOps practitioners and education became mandatory, and I think it have to be mandatory if you want to grow the maturity of the FinOps in your company. But it's still the thing which FinOps central team decide when you have to do this education meeting, and before which process you have to educate your people more. I think here it's like this.
Okay, no, that's an interesting approach. I've seen like mandatory, everyone does it to like nobody does anything. So I think that's a hybrid approach. It's a good stuff. And what have you seen like as a motivation for people to learn FinOps? So you have the mandatory things, but for people that want to learn more about it, what are having the incentives or tips that you have seen on your side.
It's so different because people is so different too. And everybody's motivated with so different things. For example, somebody is crazy self-motivated. Somebody is motivated by the manager, and when the manager is pushing, he will start doing something. Somebody is crazy about the process, and they like the process so much, and they like to learn to educate and to all the stuff. And but the thing is that people like to see the result, and people like to see how they influence something. Like one person came to me and say once that, like, I want to do FinOps because I want to see the result of something. Because I want to see how my which all the power which I spent influence the money, influence something, influence the product. And I think this is the thing which can motivate most of the people. But to be fair, things goes much faster when all this KPI is becoming mandatory. And after that, people splitting for two types. First, people who is doing a bare minimum, and they will continue doing bare minimum. If you will show them the results, they don't care. But and another part of the people whom you can motivate and who want to do more. And both of them, again, you have to show them, you have to visualize their results. They have to show them the KPIs which can motivate them. For example, how they're decreasing the waste, how they're decreasing the cost, and how much they save. This is what can motivate them. And the very good sign which I saw once, but not once, I think more, some people started setting their year goals with the FinOps goals. And so this is like this year goals which you set up for HR with your manager. They started putting FinOps there. And of course, it motivates them too. So people can be motivated when they see that it's something valuable for them, that their actions make a value for them and for the company. It's much less, to be honest, because it's always about us. And so yeah, from my point of view, something like this.
That's interesting. I think what you mentioned about the goals, like I haven't thought about it because I do like have a similar goal system on my company, and I think that would be interesting, like especially, well, of course for the FinOps people, but also for engineering, like reducing cost or making cost more efficient for existing deployments. I think it would be a very interesting goal, and also for development, like I'm able to try to do the same architectures in a more efficient approach, so that would be super super interesting. And okay, so we've talked about like how you explain to FinOps and how you make people learn it and how you can educate, but so let's say that someone like from the different personas, let's say like okay, I get it now, I passed the education that you have gave me, and they want to do to start applying FinOps. So what do you think are the first steps that they need to do and start with?
I want to think about this question from the two points of view. What will do my engineer, when I will talk to him, and when he will go through the education process and through this FinOps champions process or whatever, and what the manager will do, I think, from this part, because I think that everybody know what the FinOps practitioner, like professional FinOps practitioner, will do, because it's much more difficult. I don't think that we will not have time today to say all the steps which the person have to do when they want to start the FinOps. It's a lot. But if we speak about when you educate somebody and when you want to see that they achieve the result, with my engineers, first he have to go and check the tagging, like if everything is tagged. And the second thing, he have to check his base dashboard. This is, like, in my experience, what my engineers have to do. But again, of course, it's like your way how you will set up your FinOps processes, your communication with engineers, and whatever. But I think here is the few things which you can make more self-sufficient for them, for the engineers, which engineers can do. And this is everything what they can touch with their arms area. And most of the time, this is simple optimization. This is a structured optimization, which is suiting for everything. This is right sizing. This is waste. This is, for example, checking out which is tree type you can use, etc. Gravitons for RDS, and so on. This is simple activity with the budgeting, and this is like an example which can be done. And for my engineer, he will go and he will check the tagging and the waste dashboard, like how much I waste, because he already will understand that waste is super bad, and this is simple applicable thing which you can do fast, and that the tagging, that is just like our strategy, is a slow long-term activity, and he is responsible for that, because not we are doing te not FinOps team doing Terraform scripts, and this is something what the team is doing, and this is their area. And speaking about the manager, if we talk to the manager or to the owner of the branch or whatever, from my point of view, but this is only my point of view, that he have to go and set up his alerting system. Like, he have to set up how much he have to spend daily based on the average or based on the maximum, for example, and his monthly alerting system. I think this is like first steps for people whom you educate and who talk to you as a FinOps central team.
Oh, that's that. I think that you, I was, curious about like the different persona approach and, how do you do it with engineering? What one is one thing, and I think I started with tagging, and the waste. Like, yeah, I think waste and tagging are one of the concept that I have seen like more people involved into and more people wanting to learn, and you know, the budgeting is also, of course, and it's more like a managerial kind of thingy, and it's fairly, you know, easy to start with. And you know, we have started with we have talked about the things to start and the first steps. What have you seen are the first mistakes that people do, like when they are starting, and they do the best approach, but still make some mistakes when they are starting doing FinOps on their own?
I think that people want to achieve a quick wins, and it's not always a thing. Like, again, if we will go back to check your tagging, tagging is not a quick win at all. But it is a thing which you have to take care about at first. And when you're starting, like, doing this quick wins, quick optimizations without understanding what your business want to do, and if you really need to do this exact optimization right now, this is the mistake. From my point of view, which you can make, and you have to be aware of it. Because quick wins is not always win-win. This is just quick, and not quick is not all the quick things is good. But sometimes, of course, sometimes it can be exactly in the eye, but sometimes it can be directly wrong thing.
That's a good quote. Like I think that sometimes like we think about the quick wins, and yeah, this is fairly easy, and this is what I need to do. But sometimes it probably generates like an issue in the long term, or it's something that you need to make a quick win like every week, and it's not sustainable, and maybe you need to automate it or things like that. So yeah, that's interesting. I can tell, like, one of my managers when I started doing FinOps and all of this, one of the advices was like, if your hourly rate is more than the cost that you are saving, you probably better use your hourly rate to develop the business and not save money. What I mean by that is, you know, if you are doing like experiments and you are in a small project, and you know, the time that you are thinking about doing a quick win optimization that is not, let's say, replicable or automated, then if your hourly rate is more, then you are wasting company's money instead of doing development. So you need to think about that, right? So it's something also to deliver to engineers, because we, like, I come from the engineering side, and it's like we think a lot about, you know, testing and doing the latest thing and the latest, you know, trendy thing. And we forget about like the cost to the company, like in the hourly rate, right? So it's like
Absolutely.
you need to think about what you are doing, and you need to think about, you know, is this
Yeah.
worth for the company?
Yeah, because it's always about the collaboration, and I think that any FinOps, most of the FinOps activity have to be done with the collaboration. And so if you are this, like, when you're doing these first steps, you cannot do these first steps without support. Even if you're a FinOps, even if you're a first FinOps practitioner in the company, if you just was hired, you still need to start with the communication. You need to talk to the stakeholders. You need to understand what is you have to have this list. What is your perfect first steps? And quick wins have to be there, of course, but you have to communicate with people because not all these optimizations applicable directly everywhere. And yeah.
No, I think you say right, and you were now that you're talking about communication, like, what had been the main problem or problems that you have seen in the communication from the FinOps team when you're trying to, you know, build awareness and communicate about the practice?
You know, I don't know a lot of mistakes because people like to speak about success. They don't like to speak about mistakes. And when you are search for something, or when you are listening to the podcast, or when you are watching this, I don't know, FinOps sessions or presentations, people saying you like, feel free to speak about the problems. I remember once they told me like, if you're doing a presentation, speak about the problems. It's okay, but at the end, you don't want to. You don't want to speak about that. And that's why I don't know a lot of mistake from other people, but I know the mistake which I did once at the beginning of all this FinOps communication stuff and trying to onboard people on FinOps boards. And it was not to focus on the people who is not interested from your point of view, who is like not suiting or something. And I remember I started going to the managers and saying them like, give me one practitioner. I will educate him. Just choose this one person, not more. I need only one. And people started providing me two person, three person, and I'm like, no, I'm not going on board them. I need only one. And this, and the, at the end, it shows that these people, they want to learn because the manager choose them because they want to educate themselves and they want to participate in something and they're crazy interested. But at the beginning, I said that I don't need them. But at the end, this is like extra brain in your FinOps group. This is extra person who can even teach you something, who even can find something interesting for your company, for your FinOps activity. And at the end, I onboard them all. It was a scheme that like it was one main FinOps practitioner and two like sub FinOps practitioners. And the first person was responsible, and others was just goes went to the education sessions. They participate. They ask the questions. Like they were there. They were there all the time. And I think, yeah, it's a mistake when you think that you know exactly which people you want and you not involve others, but you always have to be open.
That's very interesting. Like, I think, like, not, you don't have enough resources anytime in FinOps, like, especially in the human side. Like, as more people that you can get involved, the better, even though it may be trickier for you that you can feel like a bit of a bottleneck, like I have to teach too many people at the same time and all of that. I think that having as much as you can and having as many people involved as you can.
You know why it was like this? Because it was a mature process. It wasn't what it was not like only just join us and that's it. It was the my responsibility, how much people I onboard, how they meet their KPIs, because I need this list of the responsible person. I just needed to be sure that they're gonna do something because it was my annual KPIs. It was my activity. I have to be sure about these people. And at that time, I didn't even think that maybe I have to onboard somebody else. I think it was about the mandatory, of the process. Yeah, I said wrong at the beginning. That's because it was a mandatory, because it was necessary. These people have real responsibility, not just like something in the air. No, for real. You have to track your KPIs. You have to track your budget. You have to track your waste. You have to do all of that. And I'm tracking how you track it. And I'm tracking how you're good in it and how you perform. And that's why I decided that it have to be strict. But at the end, we still found this responsible person, but I was able, I created another group, which I called like education group, and they just joined us and took a part in the processes and education.
That's definitely like an interesting approach. And I think that what you mentioned is very interesting from the FinOps side, because I remember like reading a blog post from, I think, Ellie Rao. She was in Disney, and now I think she's working in FinOps. And she mentioned about the burnout of FinOps, right? So because sometimes like FinOps are involving too many things, they have too many tasks, and it's since it's a process that is involving in too many factors. I don't know if you have suffered like not FinOps burnout, but you have feel like a bottleneck, and how you've been able to solve like if that happened, like how you've been able to solve to try and delegate or try to leave these tasks to more people.
We delegated, yeah, it was delegated, and what I said about this mandatory thing, about this mandatory FinOps practitioners, the more teams you have, the more difficult for you to be customized central team because you need to support everyone. And like at the end, it was 120 teams or something, and FinOps team was overwhelmed. It was a lot to do, and the self-sufficiency helps you a lot. And this is how to not to be a bottleneck. Again, at the topic of the discussion, educate them, provide them tool set, provide them documentation, support them, and just let them do their stuff. because they in some things they're so close to their numbers, they're so close to their resources. Sometimes when we speak about budgeting, I don't remember if I talk about it or not, but how it works right now and how it I think have to work. Like you are as a FinOps Central team, you're doing main canvas, like your main forecast. And the team can put their details, they add their details exactly in their forecast. And that's how you can achieve the best detailed and the most tried forecast. After providing opportunity for our teams to budget themselves, of course I control it. Of course I do analysis of their numbers. Of course we had our KPIs. For example, is it how much it's bigger than our forecast, how much it lower than our forecast? It was a few KPIs. At the end, we get like if the year before it was only 75% of the teams was inside our forecast, inside the budget at the end of the year. Next year, when teams become more self-sufficient, when team started budgeting themselves, it was already 95. So it plus 20 years of 20% of the budgeting accuracy, and I think it's a great. We started spending three times less time as a central FinOps team for this budgeting process. And plus, we get it 20% better. I think it's real numbers. And this is like we avoid this bottleneck and we make the process better because we just did the clear processes, documentation tools, etc.
Yeah, I think what you mentioned is key, right? So, being able to create like a self-sufficient thing, self-serve thing, like being able to define like the process so people can follow it, try to, optimize it as much as you can. I think like in general, like good businesses are built upon good processes. And once you do like a good process that impacts like a lot of the company, what you mentioned, three times less and 20 like an accuracy of 90 like 95% is key. Like you probably cannot have like an AI doing even better than that. So that are great numbers, especially for budgeting and forecasting, which are like probably the most difficult things that you can do in FinOps, knowing
Yes.
how much are you going to spend, right?
Yeah, it is. But yeah, I'm really proud of that what we did. And yeah, of course we did very good forecasting. It was my colleague who did it very crazy good. But anyway, I think that it's forecasting plus teams plus process plus tools. It's not. It's in the connection with.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I think it's a wonderful result what you share. And looking at a bit about more the human part, I don't know how you have seen like the evolution of the culture in the company around FinOps, and how you have seen like from when you started in the practice, like maybe in your early experiences, until now that you may have like seen like a lot of situations and a lot of changes. How you have seen the culture evolving like in the different companies, and how you have seen it growing maybe in your case?
I can say how I see how the culture growing in my case. I think that this is about how people doing FinOps and when and why, what is their reasoning, and it's always changing. And then more mature it's becoming, then higher the ownership. That, for example, I can count it on the amount on teams with the FinOps practitioners. I can understand it on how many teams was able to do their budget without my support. I can measure it on the, for example, tools usage, how many people start using the tools, checking the dashboards, how often, who is joining the meetings. Like, this is the level of the interest in the company. And when the interest is growing, then you can understand that the culture is growing. Of course, it could be sometimes a toxic culture or whatever, but
Yeah.
yeah, like people just saying FinOps without understanding what is it. But I think when then you start showing them KPIs or where to pay attention on, it's becoming more it's better. For example, this year, I saw how much more directors joined the process and how they joined it. That their vocabulary become more professional. They started understanding what exactly to do. They started providing the ideas how to make it better. For example, when I did my products researches inside the company, they already came with the ideas because they started understand the framework. And this is for me how the culture change without the saving, because everybody understands how to measure it with the saving. But this is more about the human communication, because when people join, when you see that people speak about FinOps already more professional, when you see that people without you pushing them to check the dashboard, they're checking the dashboard. And when they're coming with the ideas, I think for me it's a good sign of growing.
No, definitely. And I think you brought like a point that I haven't thought about or seen is that to measure it, right? So because the culture sometimes is more, let's say, more human, more abstract, more things like, yeah, it's growing or it's not growing, or we are in that situation, we have a better or worse culture, and it's like, what is a better or worse culture? But what you mentioned about measuring it and seeing like how many people join, how many people are talking in the events, how many people are proposing ideas, checking the dashboards, all of that. Like having KPIs for the FinOps culture, I think it's something that I have never thought, and it's a wonderful idea. We'll probably need to think about defining the best practice about like what are the KPIs that are useful over there, and you already like shared a lot of them, so
Yeah,
thanks
to
Stefan.
be honest, everything what I said right now, part of it can be counted, and
Yeah.
it can be it can be a quantity. And for example, you can count how much people check your dashboard, and it was one of my KPIs which I check all the time. And when I make the changes, and for example, when I did the education sessions, when I speak about something what you can find on the dashboard, I checked after if people started searching it, if I explain it right, if I show them where to check, and if they go and check. So yeah, a lot of the things you can count. You can set up this logging and monitoring, and it will work for you. You can just do it in a good technical way. So yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's just another KPI, and you can set it up the same that you do, with the cost per user or things like that. You can do it for, how many clicks, how many visits a dashboard has instead of, a website or the checkout cart or whatsoever. You can do it for the dashboard. So yeah, I think that's a wonderful thing to end up the conversation. I think it was very insightful, and a lot of tips and tricks about how to build like a FinOps practice and a culture in your company from scratch. So thanks a lot for being here today with me, and looking forward to having you next time.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. It was great to talk.
Yeah, pleasure to talk, and see you in the next episode. Bye bye.
Bye bye.